Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read parts of a story that I think are very revelatory concerning the message that we're going to talk about here tonight. Okay? When I was praying about 2021, and the Lord was, you know, every year I pray about themes for our ministry overseas. I do this every December. And the Lord gave me three words, and they're found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And the three words were, "It is well." It is well for 2021. And then he said something to me. He said, "Words will win in 21. Words will win. Our confession is going to change things. Our confession is going to change something in your life, and it's going to change something corporately in the life of this nation." Amen. And no devil can stop it, because the most powerful weapon on the planet are the words you speak. They are the most powerful weapon on the planet. They are the words you choose to speak. All right? Now, 2 Kings chapter number 4 talks about Elisha and his servant Gehazi. It says that they would be visiting this particular town, where I'm going to summarize for a while here. And there was a couple that would host them. And then one day the wife said to the husband, "Why don't we just build a house or a little room on the side of our house so that whenever the prophet comes to town, he'll have a place to stay." And so they did that. Okay, and so every time that Elisha would come through the area, he would stay at this particular house because they had built for him, in particular, a room, a guest room for him, so that he could rest and, you know, spend time with God and so forth. So as a result of this, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Call the woman over here. I'd like to ask her if she would like something, if I can do something to bless her, in an expression of appreciation for what she's done to build for me this little room here. I'm very thankful, and I'd like to do something for her, if at all possible." Okay, so, and he asks her some questions. If you look at verse number, 13, the 13th verse from 2 Kings chapter number 4. And it says in this passage, "He said to him, 'Say now to her, look, You have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'Well, then what is to be done for her?' Gehazi answered and said, 'Actually, she has no son and her husband is old.' So he called her and said, when she comes, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." That's a declaration. Then she says, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." She thinks that he's just playing with her. But he says, "No, basically, I'm serious. About this time next year, you're going to have a child." So verse 17, "The woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her." Okay, so this is the miracle baby. Okay, this is a miracle that was proclaimed by the man of God in gratitude for what they had done for him. All right, now as we continue to read, it says in verse number 18, "The child grew." Now we don't know exactly how old the child was, but the child was old enough to be out in the fields working with his father. So it says, "As it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And so he said to a servant, 'Carry him to his mother.'" Verse number 20, "When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and died." The kid died right in the lap of his mother there at lunchtime in the house. All right, now notice what the mother does. Verse 21, "She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back.' The husband answers in verse 23, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' And she said," notice the response, it is well. That's all she says. In other words, leave me alone. I need to go. Let me go. And that's all she says. It is well. Then she saddled the donkey, said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her far off, he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman. Verse 26, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She answered, it is well. Notice how she's responding. It says in verse 27, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden this from me and has not told me. So she says to him, did I ask of my Lord, did I not ask, and did I not say, don't deceive me? Okay. So at that point, the prophet understands what has happened. Nobody has said the child is dead. Nobody has said death or dead. It's not in the conversation. Okay? When the husband will ask, where are you going? She says, I'm just going. I need to go see the man of God. Find me a donkey. Find me a driver. I need to go right now. He says, why? She says, basically, it's okay. It's all right. Just leave me alone. I need to go. Okay? The father doesn't know the child is dead. And when the mother shows up to confront the man of God, she does not say that the child is dead. When the prophet's assistant will ask and say, how are you? Hey, it's been a while since we've seen you. How are you? How's your family? How's your business? How's that boy of yours, that miracle child? Each time she answers with these words, it is well. Okay, and then he figures it out by the Spirit of God. He says in verse 29, get yourself ready, take my staff, he's talking to his assistant here, in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, don't greet them. And if anyone greets you, don't answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed. So we have the assistant going first with the staff from the prophet with the instructions to lay the staff on the face of the dead child. The mother and the actual prophet Elijah are now following the assistant. So he gets there first. It says in verse number 31, Gehazi went on ahead of them, laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on the bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Verse number 34, he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Verse 36, he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. He called her, and when she came in, he said, pick up your son. She went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground, and she picked up her son and went out. At no point in this entire story did anyone admit the child had died. The mother did not say it. The assistant prophet did not say it. The prophet did not say it. They understood the discipline of conversation. They understood that words change things. Do you understand me? Yes, words change things. Okay? As far as we know from the story we just read, the father never knew his son had died. He never knew. Because by the time that he found out that she had gone and come back, she came back with a living child. She didn't know. Or he didn't know, I should say. And my point to you today is there are reasons why the Holy Spirit puts stories like this in the Bible. He doesn't put stories in here to fill up space because he's got nothing better to do. He's not under a publishing deadline to put out another book by the 16th of this year or something. He puts stories in here specifically for people to read so that we can see principles and truths that we can apply in our life the way they did in the Old Testament or the New Testament or any Testament. Can anyone say amen? You know, if this is going on in the Old Testament and we have a better covenant based upon better promises, how much more can these principles apply to your life and my life right now? But the problem is, we don't know how to say it is well. That's the problem. We don't know how to say it is well. We'd rather just talk about what we see and how we feel and what the neighbors are saying and what the government's telling us and what the courts are telling us and whomsoever out there seems to be someone among us. Listen, you and I need to learn that in our lives, when push comes to shove, learn to say it is well. If you're sitting here tonight and you're sick, it is well with you. Are you saying that? Because in most cases, people are not. They are giving the devil free ammunition with the words they speak. They don't realize they're doing it, and that's just the way the devil wants for it to be. He hides in the shadows and does his best work when he's not acknowledged for who he really is. This is how he works, okay? Smoke and mirrors, misdirection. We talked about this earlier today, all right? There's power in our confession. Jesus did this. Look at Mark chapter number 5. Jesus did this thousands of years later, okay? When Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came to Jesus, pleading with him because his daughter was dying. Mark chapter 5. Once again, why are these stories in here? Why would the Holy Spirit pick these stories and put them in here for you and for me to read? Okay? The Bible says at the end of the book of John, if we tried to chronicle every miracle that Jesus did, the books of the world could never contain them all. There were so many miracles, you know, I mean, it was nonstop miracle ministry 24/7 for 3.5 years. So why are these stories in here? Why are these the ones that he anointed Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John under inspiration to include in the canon of Scripture? Why are they here? Okay, there are things we need to see. We need to learn how to say it is well. It is well with America. It is well with our government. It is well with the Great Commission. It is well with this church, and it is well with you in the name of Jesus. As far as God's concerned, it is well. Now you need to start saying the same things over your life, your body, your children's life, the family history, and all this other stuff that people throw up in front of you every time you have a hangnail or some problem comes along where the devil tries to convince you that there's no way out. Jesus said, he said many things in many places, but he said, you know, basically, you and your words determine your destiny. That's what he said. Mark chapter number 5. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 23, Mark 5:23. This is Jesus confronted by the ruler of the synagogue who is begging him in the 23rd verse, begging Jesus earnestly, saying to Jesus, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Now he has his faith set on Jesus coming to lay hands on his girl and heal her before she dies. Okay, so on the road they go. And it says, in the way, there's the certain woman that had the flow of blood for 12 years, suffering many things from many physicians, okay? She spent all that she had, and she was no better, etc., etc. She comes behind Jesus in the crowd, touches his garment. Now, notice verse 28, for she said something. She declared something. If I touch his clothing, I shall be made well. It is well with me as long as I get to touch his clothing. Okay, and she did, and he did. The Bible says immediately when this happened, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of this affliction. Jesus, knowing in himself that power went out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples say, are you kidding me? What do you mean, who touched your clothes? You're surrounded by people. It's called the press. Many people are touching you. What do you mean, who touched my clothing? I mean, they were incredulous about it. And then Jesus says in verse number 31, he insists, somebody touched me. He looked around to see who did this. This would be verse number 32. And the woman came, fearing and trembling, and shared everything with Jesus. And he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Daughter, your faith. It didn't say my faith. It said your faith. And if you study healing through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this statement is repeated over and over again. Be it done unto you according to your faith. Your faith made you well. Thank you for your faith because you enabled me to minister healing power to you. And the Bible says in the book of Nazareth, in the town, I should say, of Nazareth, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. He wanted to and couldn't. Someone says, well, God can do anything. No, he can't. He gave us free will. He gave us the power of choice. He gave us the ability to speak words and to declare over our lives, it is well. Now, when we cooperate with him, he'll go do what we can't do. When we do our part, he'll do his. But he's expecting us to do our part, okay, based upon what he's talking about here. Woman, great is your faith. Your faith made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Because she said something. All right, listen to what's coming out your mouth, folks. Whoever's out there listening in la-la land, tech land, whatever, listen to what's coming out your mouth. I get addressed by the Holy Spirit the same way I'm talking to you. He'll pull me aside and say, would you please listen to what you're saying? Would you please shut up? Would you please shut your mouth, zip your lip? You're handing the devil free ammunition. You are cutting me off and you are enabling your enemy to continue to wreak havoc in your life. Would you please shut your mouth? If you can't say something that gives me something to work with, at least keep your mouth shut and don't give the devil something to work with. Keep saying it is well, it is well, it is well. Be like the woman back in 2 Kings chapter 4. She had enough sense to do this, and as a result, she had a miracle happen in her life nobody thought was possible. As we keep reading here, Jesus continues on. It says in verse 36, once he hears this, he says to the ruler of the synagogue in the 36th verse, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, where the Bible says there was a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he comes in, look at verse 39. When he comes in, he says to them, "Why do you make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Now, is he a liar or is he a truth teller? I mean, listen, physically, she's dead. She's been dead for a while now. They're in there weeping and wailing. They called for the professional criers to come in there, which was a thing they did back then. And they just came in and started weeping and wailing because they were paid to do it. Okay, so she's been dead for a while. She's up on that bed. She's not breathing. Jesus shows up and says, "Why are you people crying?" She's not dead. She's just sleeping. So is she sleeping or is she dead? Which is it? Actually, it's both. It's two levels of truth being revealed in one verse. Okay, physically, she's dead. That's the lower level of truth. Okay, but Jesus refuses to operate at that level of truth and raises the bar to a higher level of truth that supersedes the reality of the lower level. Can anyone say amen to this? What are miracles, by the way? Miracles are the intrusion of the power of God into the natural world, doing things that medical science can't do. Blind eyes healed, people walking away from services. We've seen it for 42 years. People that come to meetings, you know, in blankets and on cots, and they throw the clothing off, and off goes the cot, and they throw that thing away and walk out. They don't even say thank you. They just leave, you know. I would at least appreciate a thank you for showing up, but, you know, hey, whatever. And the point is, you know, they just go ahead and leave. Walk out the door and leave the cot. We've had polio victims. People that had their feet, kids with their feet twisted like pretzels in front of hundreds and probably thousands, but hundreds at least. In a park, we've watched the power of God flatten those feet right down on the ground. The crutches fall off from under their arms, and the kid walks right off that platform in the name of Jesus healed. I mean, we've seen things, okay? But I'll tell you, For every working of miracles that you see that we're talking about like that, there are many more miracles that happen just in the privacy of your relationship with God when you do things like this. Notice, it says in verse 40, when he said to these people, the child is not dead but sleeping, they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They'll make fun of you. They'll make fun of you. They'll think you've lost your mind. They thought Jesus lost his mind. His own mother thought he was crazy. Okay? But he put them all out. Would you please notice what he did? He put them all outside. My friends, as I said earlier today, if you were here to listen, you need to get rid of all these doubting Thomases in your life. You can love them, you can pray for them, but you need to dump them and move on and find some real friends who are going to stand with you through thick and thin, and they're not going to change their confession. They're going to line up with yours because yours lines up with God, and together you're going to create synergy rather than just energy. Amen. Energy is 2 + 2 = 4. Synergy is 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. If you want to really move the power of God in your life, create synergy. And that means you get rid of all of these doubting Thomases out there. You can love them from a distance and say, you know, I'll see you someday soon. But until you change your conversation in my life, I can't be hanging around with you. Goodbye. Goodbye. Don't text me. Don't call me. Be warm. Be filled. Be gone. Be out of here in the name of Jesus, because I need to surround myself with people of like precious faith. And right now, that isn't you. Period. And they'll go storming out the door offended for 10 years. That's their problem, not yours. We're not here to make friends and influence people. We're here to get a job done for God and to use our mouth to torment the devil every which way but loose. Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. The reason your confession is so important is because you have a high priest in heaven who's waiting in the wings to repeat what you're saying to God. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our what? What's that next word? I can't hear you. The apostle and high priest of our, not his, our confession, Christ Jesus. This is one of his heavenly ministries now, which will be in play forever. He is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Do you understand that? He confesses what we confess. He takes our words before God and repeats them. God doesn't care about us, because without Jesus, we're nothing. But in Christ, we're something. And Jesus sits now at the right hand of God. And part of what he's up there to do is to repeat, as the high priest of our confession, the words we speak to God the Father, who then enables that power to flow through our lives and take care of business in the name of Jesus. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what, you know, the indicators may be, no matter what COVID says, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, by the way, you should be speaking to that virus in the name of Jesus, and you should be killing it from its roots. Every single day you think about it, you should say, that thing is dead in the name of Jesus. I kill it from its roots, and all the tentacles of its influence in this world, I cut them off in the name of Jesus, because I have authority, and I can do this because Jesus empowered me to do so. There, and that's the end of that. Don't just sit there and let that thing run all over the earth. Amen. Cut it off in the name of Jesus. Imagine what millions of us all saying the same things together can do to wipe that thing out in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Okay? Now, look with me at Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and the 14th verse. All right. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast what? I can't hear you. Let us hold fast our confession. Don't change what's coming out your mouth. Continue to say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my body. It is well with my business. It is well with my family. And it is well with my marriage in the name of Jesus. And never mind what else is going on out there. Just continue to follow the guidelines that that lady set for us thousands of years ago when she put her dead son on the bed of the prophet of God. Went out, found him, and, you know, basically told him what had happened without telling him what had happened. Amen. You know, Pastor Jim talks about the book I wrote a couple years ago called The Language of Faith. You have to become fluent in speaking faith, and people who are fluent with you will know what you're saying even when you're saying it. The rest of the people are clueless. They don't know. But if you do these things, people who know faith will understand what's going on, and most especially, so will the Lord, who is sitting in heaven right now as the apostle and high priest of our confession. Lastly, look at Hebrews chapter 7. We've looked at chapter 3. We've looked at chapter 4. How about now looking at Hebrews chapter number 7? Okay? And we're going to read from verse 22. Okay, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. It says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Verse 23, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. See, what he's doing up there now, he's going to be doing forever. Forever. Therefore, verse 25, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. He is at the right hand of God, ever living to intercede for you and for me. And what words does he have to work with as he makes intercession for you and for me? The words coming out of your mouth, those are the words he works with. He's the high priest and the apostle of our confession. What is coming out your mouth? Listen to it, okay? If we could actually record a day's worth of conversation, just normal conversation, and then play it back and compare it to the Word of God, you would be shocked at what's coming out your mouth in most cases. Me too, okay? And I preach this stuff. And I'm telling you, Jesus has pulled me aside just as often as necessary, which is too many times as far as I'm concerned, where he has corrected me and said, you're listening to the wrong sources. You're listening to the wrong input. You need to get back into the Word of God and repeat what I've already said about your situation and continue to say it and continue to say it until your words change what you see. Because if you change what you say will change what you see. Amen. All right. Finally, look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, the second chapter and the first verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John 2 in the first verse, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? He's also called the advocate. He is the legal representative before the throne of God on our behalf. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. That's a legal term in the Greek. Okay, he's our lawyer. He pleads our case as our high priest, the apostle and high priest of your confession. He pleads your case depending upon what you say. And by the way, the Bible says the angels of the Lord are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2. But the Bible also says they hearken to the voice of the word. If you're not speaking the word, the angels are standing there with their arms folded and have nothing to do. Do you understand that when you were born, angels were assigned to your life and they're still with you? And the more you want to do for God, more angels are assigned to assist and to help and to minister for you. But see, what they wait for is for your words to come out your mouth and give them something to work with. Okay, so I'm here tonight to encourage you and to exhort you, and if necessary, offer a loving word of correction to you. If these words are not coming out your mouth the way the Bible says that they should, according to stories that we've read, and we just read a small percentage of what we could have read, okay? Remember, the Holy Spirit puts this stuff in here so we can read and learn and adjust. So I'm going to tell you tonight, read and learn and adjust, okay? Because there's power present in this room right now to heal. You don't have to have a healing line. Jesus doesn't need a healing line. A healing line is one of many methods that the Holy Spirit can use. We don't need that tonight. There's power present. I've already prayed, and it's what I call God's Bluetooth anointing. It's in the building in the name of Jesus. It's in the building. Okay? How many of you understand Bluetooth? You know, the wireless connection between your wireless device and whatever it is that it's hooked up to. Okay, that's Bluetooth. Okay, and but there's always a range. You can only do this in a certain range before the Bluetooth connection is lost. The good news about God's Bluetooth connection, it can go worldwide and there is no downturn to the signal strength. Amen. You people watching out there, wherever you may be, the same power that's in this building is in your living room right now in the name of Jesus. Power is present everywhere. Tap into it with the Bluetooth power from Almighty God. Can anyone say amen to this? Okay. I'm telling you, I've seen in our crusades a lot of miracles where we never got to the people who were healed. We were here and they were out there and they just received the message and bingo. They got healed and threw their cot away and ran away and whatever, or ran off the stage healed. The same power that did it then is doing it now. The same power that is present back in the Old Testament for the woman's son that was raised from the dead is the same power, and how much more now, because we've got a better covenant based upon better promises. Amen. I don't care what the doctor told you, and I don't care how you've tested, positive, negative, or something in between. God said by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. God said that he took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Amen. That's what God said. And that's the final authority that we need to rest our conversation on, because Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Can anyone say amen?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.